James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 this morning. I heard this quote fairly recently, I guess, and it made me laugh. It said, apparently you have to eat healthy more than once to get in shape. This seems cruel and unfair. It's not that we don't see the benefits of eating healthy, or even that we don't want to be healthy. It's just that whole following through thing, right? That's what we struggle with. It would be much easier if we could just read a book about healthy eating without actually having to do it. Or maybe we could just sit on the couch and watch an exercise video, spray some water on our face and say, whew, that was a good workout. It doesn't work that way though, does it? Unfortunately, right? It's not that learning what to do is wrong at all. It's not that reading the book is wrong. It's not that watching the video is wrong. Those are good things. But learning what to do is not enough. There needs to be some action. There needs to be some follow through. There's got to be some doing. And then, and only then, will there be some growth. Will there be some improvement? Will you see some results that you're hoping for? And really even the proof that your desire to be healthy was genuine. The same is true when it comes to God's Word. In the verses we looked at last week, James taught us that we should receive God's Word. And he knows that these people already have. These are saved people he's writing to. We are to receive God's Word, he said, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He said, receive with meekness that Word that's already been implanted within you. But hearing alone is not enough. James does not stop there, and neither should we. There needs to be some action. There needs to be some follow-through, some doing, some obedience. And then your initial faith does prove itself genuine. Then your faith can grow. Then there's some results that follow. Then there's some development and some maturity. Look at verse 22 through 25. Notice this emphasis that James puts on how we should respond to the word that we've already received. We need to actively put it into practice. James says in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Be ye doers of the word. It's another one of those very famous commands that James gives us. Be ye doers of the word. This phrase could be translated, become doers of the word. And some kind of press that and suggest that James realizes and understands that a Christian's life is like a journey in obedience. That a Christian is not saved and just automatically obeys everything God says. And it's just that easy, and it just happens. We know better than that. It's a process. It's a journey. It's got ups and downs on it, hills and valleys. And we know we need to mature, and we need to grow, and we need to become obedient to the Word of God. Even if we don't press that idea of a journey and just take it as just this simple command, be a doer, it has a continual and ongoing force to it. Always be a doer. Continually be a doer. This is something that you never outgrow. This is something that you never stop doing. It's something you never finish with. We don't ever graduate from obedience school. We're not like dogs. We don't graduate and okay. Now, we are constantly ongoing to be obedient. Obedience to the Bible should never end in your life. It also should not be like a light switch that you can just turn on and off. But if we're honest, how often is it like that sometimes for us? Man, I know God says this, but I'm going to flip the switch. Genuine faith should manifest itself in continual obedience. And that doesn't mean we never sin. It doesn't mean we never fail or we never make mistakes or anything like that. But we don't want our lives characterized by disobedience. Our lives need to be overwhelmingly characterized by striving to obey God's word, by doing it, not just hearing it. That's what James says. He says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. This word hearers is really interesting because it actually comes from the world of Greek philosophy. The Greeks prided themselves in their philosophers. We have some of the most famous philosophers that we even know about and read about today are from the ancient Greeks. And this term for hearer was used for someone who would attend a philosopher's lecture but wasn't actually a disciple of the man. It was someone who came and heard what was said but did not follow the teachings. They attended the lecture, but they didn't take any action. James says that is not how true faith responds to the Word of God. Don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. Put the truth that you have heard, that you have received, into practice in your life. The whole practice what you preach. But sadly, how many Christians today do you think attend church services or read their Bible the same way those ancient Greeks attended a lecture? They hear it, but they don't make any changes in their lives. They listen to the lecture, but they don't follow what's taught. I hope that's not you. And I hope that's not me. We need to let God's word change our lives every single time we open it. If we merely hear God's word without responding to it in obedience, James says we're deceiving ourselves. At the end of verse 22, deceiving your own selves. I think this is important to notice. The word is not deceiving you. The pastor's not deceiving you. The Sunday school teacher's not deceiving you. You're deceiving yourself. And this word deceived is really interesting. It was a word sometimes used in the business world when someone committed fraud, when they miscalculated expenses. Some lexicons even give the definition of this word as to cheat. So think about this. If you think that hearing God's word is all there is, if you think hearing God's word is enough and that there is no follow-through necessary, if you think that obedience doesn't matter, you've miscalculated. And you're cheating yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And Jesus warned against this danger at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which we read earlier. Jesus said that if you hear my teachings and you do them, you obey them. Jesus said, you're a wise man. It's that obedience that shows that wisdom. Because he immediately said, but if you hear what I say and don't do it. Okay, the hearing's the same. But if you hear it and don't do it, Jesus said, you're a foolish man. There's no foundation for your life. It's like you've built your house on sand. It's going to crumble. Jesus' own words are that you are a fool if you hear the word of God and refuse to obey it. If you think that's strong, you're right. But since Jesus said it, it's true. Foolish people hear from God and refuse to follow God. James gives his own illustration of what it's like for someone to hear the word of God but not do it. Jesus uses the foundation illustration. James takes this in verse 23 and 24, and he gives us this illustration of a man looking at his reflection. And it's one of my favorite illustrations in the whole Bible here. This word glass at the end of verse 24, at the end of verse 23, it refers to a mirror. Some of you have translations that will just say mirror. Most of the time in the ancient world, their mirrors were made of polished metals. They weren't the perfect glass, shiny mirrors that we have today, but some sort of polished, shiny metal. And even though they weren't like what we have, they were still usable. You could still see yourself, and you could still get your reflection. Sometimes they made very small, kind of handheld mirrors that were usable. And sometimes, though, they had a mirror that was actually laid flat on a table. And so in order to actually see your reflection, you kind of had to look down over on top of it. You kind of had to stoop over and to get a good look at it. And again, even though these mirrors weren't as good as what we have today, you're still able to get a good look at yourself. And there's nothing in this word, in verse 23, beholding. There's nothing in that word, or you may have the word looks in your translation. Nothing that implies a hasty, quick, careless glance where you would just miss something. Where you didn't get a good look, or you didn't really notice something wrong or out of place. In fact, it really implies the opposite. This man is carefully and continually looking into the mirror. He's getting a good look at his face. And the implication of verse 24 is that there's something wrong. The man noticed it. Whatever it may have been. Maybe his hair is messed up. I don't have that problem. Maybe he had a big piece of steak stuck in his teeth. Maybe he ate a big Hershey bar and there's chocolate all over his mouth. Through his careful, continual observation of his appearance, he sees that something's wrong. There's something that required his attention, some action that he needed to take, something that he needed to do to correct the problem. Find a comb. Get a toothpick, right? Get a napkin. Take what you've learned and then do something with it. Isn't that what you would do if you looked in the mirror and you had chocolate all over your face after fellowship? If you go straight to the dessert table today and you've got Cool Whip all over your face and you go to the mirror and you go, okay, and then you go and don't do anything. No, you're going to take a napkin, you're going to wipe it off, right? We hope so. Everybody else hopes that you do that, right? This man doesn't do that. This man goes his way, and James says he immediately forgets what manner of man he was. As soon as the man stands up and turns around, he forgets what the mirror revealed to him. He immediately forgets what he learned and takes no action. He didn't fix his hair. He didn't clean his teeth. He didn't wipe off his face, whatever it was. There is one kind of comical thing here that James does, at least to us, I guess. This word for man in verse 23. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. This word for man is actually the word for male, as opposed to female, or as opposed to a more generic word for human. And so there's some people that joke that James does this because if a woman looked in a mirror and saw something out of place, she's not going to turn around without fixing it. That's what men do. You know, I don't know about that. James isn't limiting his teaching to males only. This man takes no action after seeing something that needed to be done. And of course, we look at this illustration and we go, that guy's foolish. I mean, he learned the problem. You studied yourself in the mirror, but if you're not going to do something with it, what was the point of looking into the mirror in the first place? And we think he's foolish, right? If you hear God's word but don't obey it, you are as foolish as this man. You're receiving perfect wisdom, perfect instruction. You're learning things that need to be done, hearing things that require your attention and your action, but you're turning around and not doing them. That's foolish. Thankfully, though, James doesn't stop here with just this negative, right? He goes into verse 25 and gives us the positive. He gives us the flip side. What about someone who does take action? Look at verse 25 again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word here in verse 25 for look is different from the word earlier about looking into the mirror. This word specifically gives the idea of stooping down and bending over in order to get a really good close look, a really close examination. The word's only used 5 times in the New Testament, and 3 of the times it was used are during the resurrection accounts of Jesus when someone went to the tomb, and what did they do? They stooped down and bent over to get a closer look at this empty tomb. They were carefully observing what was going on. That's the same word here. And so James kind of connects with this word. He connects it to the man looking in the mirror who may have had to lean over something to look into this mirror if it was one of those that they placed flat on a table. But the difference is now this man is looking into something different. He's looking down, stooping down into the perfect or the complete law of liberty. That just refers to God's word. It refers to God's truth, God's teaching. This man isn't looking at a physical mirror, but he's learning what God's word reveals about him. It is kind of surprising that James calls it a law of liberty, though, isn't it? Think about it for a minute. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? A law of liberty? Laws are confining. They're restrictive. They don't bring freedom. God's word does. It may sound strange to us. It definitely sounds strange to this world. But this is one of the great paradoxes of Christianity. True freedom, genuine liberty in your life does not come by doing anything you desire. True freedom comes from following God and His word. When you confine yourself to God's will, when you restrict yourself to God's truth, that's when you have true liberty. That's when you have true freedom, because that's when you're doing what you were created and made to do. It's like a fish is only free when it's confined to water. If you want to set a fish free by taking it out of the pond, just hang around for a while and watch what happens to that fish. He is only truly at liberty when he is restricted to where he was meant to be. You are perfectly free and truly enjoy liberty when you are restricted to where you are meant to be. And that's in God's truth. That's in God's word. It ties into something that Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. He told the Galatians, "You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Freedom doesn't mean the ability to do anything you want. We understand that even in a secular sense. You have freedom as an American. Go rob a bank. It's your right. Are you going to remain free very long? No, hopefully not. Freedom means you are now free to serve God out of love, not out of fear, and that's freeing. So when we gaze into the Word of God that tells us where we ought to be, it gives us a complete, undistorted, true view of who we are and what our lives need to be like. We're like that man who's looking at his appearance in a mirror, who sees something that needs to be fixed. When we look at our reflection in the Word of God, we learn what our lives should be like, what we were created to be, what God's will for us is. And there may be changes that need to be made. There is action that is required. There's some follow-through that's demanded, some obedience. But this man in verse 25 is different from the earlier man who looked at himself in the mirror. James says this man, though, stays in the Word. Notice he says he looks into this law and he continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. The idea of continuing therein means that he remains in its teaching. He sticks with it. He obeys it. He does it. He follows through with what it says. He doesn't turn around and forget that he has chocolate all over his mouth. He takes the required action. And James says a man that does that will be blessed in his deed. That obedience is a blessed thing. It's not a promise of physical wealth or success necessarily. God could choose to bless you physically. We know that. He has every right to do that. And he may do that. But there's much better blessings in life than money and fame and all that stuff. This is a blessedness that goes beyond anything physical. It is a spiritual prosperity. It's true joy in your life. It's true contentment and happiness and the satisfaction that you're living a life that pleases God. That's blessedness. And really, if you stop and think about it, it's almost too simple. Why would God bless disobedience? He wouldn't. So blessedness revolves around obedience. It revolves around being a doer of God's word. Obey it. What did we sing earlier? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It'd be a pretty sad song if it was trust and disobey. I think we'd have to rip that one out of the hymnal. James began his entire letter by talking about how trials test our faith, about how when our faith is tested, that gives us an opportunity to grow and to mature. But if you remember, that only happens if we obey. That growth only happens if we obey James's command to consider trials joyfully. If you disobey that command, you're not going to grow. The same truth applies now as James is talking about responding to God's word. Your faith is tested by how it responds to the Bible. And that is a major factor in your growth and your maturity. And that comes through obedience. If you'll obey God's word, there'll be some growth there. I think it sounds so simple. But think about it. Disobedience is not going to prove the genuineness of your faith. Disobedience won't mature you spiritually. Disobedience will not grow your faith. How are you going to grow your faith, Brother Matt? By not doing the Bible. By refusing to do what God says. That's how I'm going to grow spiritually. What? No preacher has ever preached that sermon. It sounds so simple. Now, we have to know it, though, right? Hearing is important. James is not at all downplaying or minimizing the importance of hearing the word. If we don't hear it, we don't even know what to obey. Hearing's important. James just commanded us to hear it. Be swift to hear. He said, receive it with meekness. We should have an eager desire to learn God's word. And if we don't do that, we don't know what God says anyway. We won't know what He commands us to do anyway. We don't know His expectations for us anyway. Hearing is important. But if it stops there, there is no growth. Just like you don't lose weight by reading a book about eating healthy. And you don't become a better athlete by watching exercise videos. But if you actually follow through with what you learned, if you obey what you've heard, then you see some growth. Then you see some benefits. Then you see some results. If you actually take action and start eating healthy foods, there's some benefit. If you get off the couch and train, there's some improvement. Hearing's not wrong, but it's not the end. It's the beginning. The improvement, the results, the growth, the blessedness comes from doing. James does not want his readers, he does not want us to look into the Bible, to look into the Word of God and hear from it and then never get off the couch. Don't look into the Word of God and the perfect reflection that it gives of yourself, of who you ought to be, and then turn around and forget it. Turn around without applying it. And here's maybe the tougher challenge. Don't just apply it every now and then. Don't just obey it every now and then. Apparently you have to eat healthy more than once to get in shape. Apparently you have to obey more than once to be obedient. James wants us to have an obedience that characterizes our lives. An ongoing, continual thing. Not something that we just do once. Well, I obeyed yesterday. That'll be good for a while. Is that going to grow you spiritually? One act? A lifelong journey of obedience to God should be our goal. And think about how much your faith will grow and how much you will mature spiritually if obedience to God is your habitual lifestyle. It's a journey that you're on. If that's the direction that you're headed. I heard a sermon at a revival last night, and the preacher said this, and I immediately knew that I was going to steal it for today's sermon. He said, if you don't change your direction, you'll end up where you're going. What direction is your faith headed? Are you hearing God's word but not following through? That's where you're headed then. You're headed down a disobedient road. Are you hearing God's word and obeying, and you're headed towards growth and towards maturity and towards being a good witness and towards being developed into that person God made you to be? If you don't change your direction, you'll end up where you're going. Don't just receive God's word, but respond to it with obedience. For those who are here and who are lost, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, responding to God's word means repenting of your sins and trusting in Christ. That's where that journey of obedience has to start with. It starts with faith in Jesus Christ. If that's a decision that you're dealing with, if that's something that's on your mind, or if you have anything on your mind that you need to talk to me about, I'm always here for you. Always. I love you very much. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let's stand and have a word of prayer as we prepare for an invitation. Father, we thank you so much for your perfect law of liberty, for the truth that it reveals about you and about us. Father, help us as we study through James and as we read the Bible and as we worship you together and just learn more of you. Help us to receive it humbly, but also help that help us to be convicted to act on it, and help us to live that out in our lives so that we can be witnesses for you, Lord, so that we're not hypocrites, so that others see you in us, and so that our faith is maturing and growing and proving itself genuine, Lord. We thank you so much for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.